I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll.
Christian singer Steve Green sang for a number of years with Bill and Gloria Gaither. And during those years, he learned to know some of the work crews in the large auditoriums where their concerts were held. The people on the setup crew are those who walk the 4-inch rafter beams, often 100 feet or more above the concrete floor, to hang the speakers and the spotlights. Steve made this comment about these workers. The fellows I talked to weren't bothered by the sight of looking down 100 feet. What they didn't like, they told me, was setting up in a building that had false ceilings, where they had acoustical tile hung just a couple of feet below the rafters. Because these men were still high in the air, but if they slipped, their weight would smash right through the flimsy tiles. But their minds seemed to play tricks on them and lulled them into carelessness. You know, friend, Satan's business isn't so much in scaring us to death, but as persuading us that the danger of a spiritual fall is minimal. No wonder the Apostle Peter calls us to enduring vigilance. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I'm grateful that you've taken the time to join me today. You know, it's so important that we Christians exercise vigilance in our walk with the Lord. We must be on guard against the deceptions that are rampant in our society. And sadly, they're in many churches too. So here's the choir to lead us in a song of prayer. You know, I fear the affluence of our time has made us soft, both physically and spiritually. Much of the hard physical work our forefathers did with their muscles is now done by machine. Most of us don't work nearly as hard as they did, at least not physically. And conveniences our parents never dreamed of are common to us. In fact, if we don't have them, we feel we just can't make it. And if we need or want something, all it takes for most of us is a quick trip to Walmart or just get online and order the product right from your phone. But you know, a problem arises when we think we can acquire spirituality with the same ease and speed. We become victims of what we might call the quick fix. Our spiritual endurance level decreases and our faith becomes weak and flabby. We neglect spiritual disciplines like fasting and prayer and denying of self because they make us physically uncomfortable. And slowly but surely, we become more and more vulnerable to Satan's deceptive schemes. You know, instead of using our greatest personal comfort as the standard for living, we must get back to the Word of God. As part of our celebration of 50 years of ministry, we've been airing a series of teaching from the books of 1 and 2 Peter. This teaching is being given by the late Dr. J. Otis Yoder, the founder of Heralds of Hope. We're almost at the end of this series, and we hope it has blessed you. So now, here's Dr. Yoder with today's message, Enduring Vigilance.
The human family is a hoping family. Everybody has some measure of hope. But I am thinking particularly of the hope that God implants. For example, the first advent was announced in Eden in the hearing of Eve and Adam. God said the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Many, from that day on, hoped, but died while they hoped and while they waited. By Earth's time, there were about 4,000 years that snailed past, but at last the seed came. Angels announced his birth to the humble shepherds at night. They came in a blinding light to tell the shepherds the seed had come. Hope was realized. He came and lived here for a brief time of about 30 years or so. His public ministry was a short 3.5 years, a brief time, very brief. He died, was buried, arose from the dead, and ascended to glory. When he left for glory, two men announced to the disciples that he will return. Now, like before, we have been hoping for nearly 2,000 years. Peter, in his second epistle, points out that scoffers will ridicule the idea of his coming. I spoke of that the other week. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" But we keep on hoping. In order for hope to have body, it must have a foundation, something it can rest on. This we can be confident of. Listen. What has been assures us of what will be. Let me say that again. What has been assures us of what will be. The world that was destroyed by flood, Peter informed us. He then directed his words to the scoffers to call them to faith. He directed his words to believers to be in readiness. Amen. Now watch in your Bible and follow as I read 2 Peter 3, 7-14. That's 2 Peter 3, 7-14. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter gathered his comments around 3 outstanding days, so as to urge us to a constant readiness. The first day he mentioned is in verse 7, the day of judgment. Now listen, as I read that verse again. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The day of judgment. The world is reserved. God holds the world in his hands. He is preserving this present world for that day of judgment. I must remind you, my friend, God's love springs from the fact that he is just. His justice is tempered by his holiness. So the justice that God metes out is absolutely correct. The world today is being reserved. It's being held. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians. He wrote of the same fact that God holds the world together. In fact, Christ does it. Paul, writing in Colossians, referred to Jesus. He said this, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Be sure that you hear the last words of what I read from Colossians. And by him all things consist. That is, everything is held together by him. A.T. Robertson makes this statement in one of his books. I quote him, Christ is a controlling and unifying force in nature. Another commentary makes this statement, quote, he maintains in being what he has brought into being, end of quotation. In other words, he is reserving this present world for a time of judgment called the Day of Judgment. There is a point of time. It is not arbitrary. The eternal God controls time. He started time right in the beginning, and he controls time. So for him, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. That is a concept too vast for us. We cannot understand that because we deal in terms of minutes, hours, days, months, years, and so forth. But to God, everything is now. I said that is a difficult concept for us. Then the gracious God provided salvation for everybody. That day of judgment does not need to be exercised in all its awfulness because he has provided salvation. He is not willing, Peter said, that any should perish. Whosoever, in that golden text of the Bible, means what it says. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has desired that all should be saved. He has provided so that salvation is possible for any and for all. But only those who believe will be saved. The rest will perish. Believers are the ones that take advantage of the work of God, the provision he has made. You see, man is a free moral agent. Therefore, he by his choice can determine his eternal destiny. Even though God has provided for it, only by believing and accepting it will it be possible to avoid the day of judgment. The second day that Peter refers to is found in verse 10. He called it the Day of the Lord. I want you to notice that it will come. Its certainty is established. The Day of the Lord will come, Peter said. And so there need not be any doubt in our minds of its fact. It is coming. I spoke of our hope. This we understand. Nobody knows when, because it is also uncertain, because it will come as a thief in the night, Peter remarked. That means it is certain it will come, but the timing is uncertain. You can't determine it. So don't try. Oh, many have tried, but they have all been wrong. Jesus said, we don't know. And here, Peter said, it will come unannounced like a thief in the night. Certainly, the thief would not announce to you or send ahead to you and tell you that on a certain day or on a certain night or at a certain time, he's coming to rob your house. No, he wouldn't tell you that. That's the uncertainty of it. But the assurance of it is, he will come. There are some consequences about this day of the Lord we ought to notice. Peter said, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. A great devastation. But as I said a moment ago, he based the fact on what is to be by the fact of what was. So then the world that then was overflowed with water. And the world that now is to be destroyed with fire. So there will be a complete renovation. In fact, the day of the Lord is more extensive than the time of Noah's flood. Because in this case, the heavens are affected more extensively, and all the elements and the earth. But all it will take is a change in balance. We can hear unbelieving scientists talk about the Big Bang as the origin of the universe. But one of my friends, a creationist, pointed out in an address he made that the Big Bang is ahead of us, not behind us. And the Apostle Peter referred to this as a great devastation. Its impact should have an effect upon our lifestyle. The fact of the day of the Lord and the uncertainty of the day of the Lord should have some impact on our lives. Peter asked the question, what kind of persons ought you to be then if this is what we are headed for? How then should we live? My friend, we have no continuing city here. We know that everything is passing away. So how should we order our lives? We should be watchful. We should be ready. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote about that fact, that we are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. So I urge you, my friend, make sure you are ready for the certain day of the Lord, which will come without announcement. The third day Peter wrote about was the day of God. You will find that in verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God. The day of God. As I look at Peter's words, I see that he referred to all creation. All creation is heading that way. The heavens will be dissolved. The elements shall melt, and the earth shall be destroyed. All will be dissolved to make room for the new heavens and the new earth. Peter urged us to believe his promise. When God destroyed the old world with the flood, all those wicked people were destroyed. Only Noah and his three sons and their wives, 8 souls, were saved. But the seed of corruption had not been washed away, because the seed of corruption is in the heart of human beings, and as a result, was repropagated. Today, we are living in a day of great corruption. Around the world, evil is multiplying every minute, it seems. So we are looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, praise God. Yes, we have been criticized at times by unbelievers, saying that all we're looking for is the future. I say, that's right, I'm looking for the future. I hope you are. I believe God has a glorious future for us. We truly wait today for tomorrow. Tomorrow it will be better, and the eternal day will certainly be better. I recall on one of my trips to Nigeria, I saw a great billboard along the freeway. It said, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." No, my friend, I want to urge you to remember that the future is before you. Therefore, live today in the light of tomorrow. What kind of a person should you be as you think of what is ahead? We must therefore keep aloof and alert. Keep aloof, not to be defiled by all the wickedness around us. Keep alert, because these days are coming. The sovereign God controls history. At his appointed time, he will conclude human history. He did not consult anyone else when he started it in the beginning. He does not need to consult anybody when he concludes it at the end. So I urge you, take seriously Peter's words. He said there are grave days are coming. The day of judgment, when God will judge the conditions of ungodly men. The day of the Lord, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The day of God, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, Peter said. That takes, my friend, enduring vigilance. Let's pray. O sovereign God, thou who art in control of the universe and all that makes up the universe, make clear to us that thou art just and holy. And as these days come, and as each day passes, we come closer and closer to the final day of human history. Speak to our hearts, I pray, and may the Holy Spirit illuminate our minds. May we seek diligently to be in peace, without spot and blameless. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awake, ye saints, and raise your eyes, and raise your voices high. Awake and praise that sovereign love that shows salvation nigh. Awake and praise that sovereign love that shows salvation nigh. Behold, I come, the Savior cries, on wings of love I fly. So come, dear Lord, my soul replies, and bring salvation nigh. So come, dear Lord, my soul replies, and bring salvation nigh. Then, waiting brethren, let us sing, He will not tarry long, and fill with joy the hours that bring the glory of our song. And fill with joy the hours that bring the glory of our song.
My friend, are you weary from the battle? Are you tempted to give up? Do you feel it's just not worth the struggle to follow Christ? If you feel that way at all, let me encourage you. Hold on. The reward comes only to those who are faithful to the very end. Enduring promises are only attained by an enduring faith and an enduring obedience. So let me encourage you in a tangible way. If you write to me, I'll be happy to send a copy of today's message to you. And when I send it, I'll send all the other messages from this series from Peter's epistles. You see, all 30 messages from our series are available in a paperback book called Sojourners in Faith, and you can receive a copy just by writing and asking for it. And I'm confident you will find it to be a source of spiritual challenge and blessing. That's Sojourners in Faith. And if you'd like a copy of the book, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page to see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, if you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, remember to ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. Now, we do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for our final message in this series, Sojourners in Faith. And until we meet again,
we will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
The trial of our faith brings its reward, endurance for the battle in the name of the Lord. And the truth that keeps this hope alive is the promise that He gives.
When we face the greatest struggle, we will stand. We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all. We will lift our eyes to Jesus.